It just got really bad. Like, I honestly like don't really remember that much, but looking back, it's like, man, I was sick.
And through that whole time, you still were training, and you
I
obviously you
was.
competed at the
And
games again in
yeah,
2016.
and I can't say it was the healthiest thing to do, but it like CrossFit is what got me through this disease and like this transplant, and I couldn't live without it. So I just did what I could. Of course, like lighter weights, because I weighed like 115 pounds. So lighter weight, I did what I could, and it was definitely hard. There's a lot of crying, a lot of emotions, just because I was so used to lifting these weights and going this fast, but I couldn't do that anymore. So that's when I realized, okay, something's wrong. Like, it's progressing fast. And it's a slow disease, but like in that last year, it was fast.
Fast.
Yeah.
This is episode number 98 with Sydney Sullivan. This episode is brought to you by a company that's made my life significantly easier, and that's Thrive Market. Thrive Market is an online marketplace, and they're on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. It allows you to shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. But as a Pursuing Health listener, you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, plus a free 30-day trial if you visit www.thrivemarket.com/ph. My husband Danny and I have been ordering from Thrive Market for years, and it's helped us to maximize our efficiency with grocery shopping and meal prep in the midst of our busy schedules through medical training. Using Thrive Market, we can shop for all of our staple grocery items, things like nut butters, cooking oils, snacks, dressings, coffee and tea, even personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, and non-toxic beauty products. We know that they're coming from a curated list of products we can trust. Whether you're looking for paleo, vegan, ketogenic, gluten-free, non-GMO, sustainably farmed, fair trade certified, or any of 80 plus other types of products, you can easily find them by filtering on Thrive Market's platform. And they're all at prices 25 to 50% below retail. Even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you never have to worry about the time or hassle of grocery shopping. Here's a few other reasons to love Thrive Market. First, they're the very first company in the country to go 100% zero waste. All of their packaging, boxes, and inserts are made from recycled paper and are recyclable themselves. They're the largest retailer in the country that sells exclusively non-GMO groceries, and more than 70% of the Thrive Market catalog cannot be found on Amazon. It provides greater access to high-quality products at prices comparable to conventional products in supermarkets. This helps to decrease the barriers to healthy living for everyone. We also have the opportunity to vote with our forks every single day to change our food environment in this country, and Thrive Market can help us do so by supporting companies that are also working towards this mission and producing high-quality, healthy, and sustainable foods. So that's why I love Thrive. Thrive's mission again is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because it's been such a lifesaver for me, I wanted to share the benefits of Thrive Market with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So once again, head to thrivemarket.com/ph to receive 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. Why not try it out and do your grocery shopping from home this week? I hope you can take advantage of this offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, head to thrivemarket.com/ph to learn more. No discount code necessary, just shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep. Now, I think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there is a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals raised in feedlots that are fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and that it will taste amazing. They allow you to order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I are super excited about firing up our backyard grill this summer to enjoy our ButcherBox selections with tons of vegetables from our local CSA. And you can join us. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. Just head to butcherbox.com/Julie for $20 off your order, plus a free order of their delicious bacon. Again, that's butcherbox.com/Julie. Hope you can check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for us. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Fouché, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Well, hello there, and welcome back to Pursuing Health. In this episode, I got to sit down with a very special lady named Sydney Sullivan. At just 15 years old, Sydney won her teen division at the CrossFit Games back in 2015. And at that time, very few knew that Sydney was also fighting a serious chronic disease called type 2 juvenile autoimmune hepatitis. This is a rare disease where her body's own immune system began to attack her liver. Sydney continued to use CrossFit as a way to maintain her strength and her health, but by the 2016 CrossFit Games, it became very apparent that her health was rapidly declining. She would eventually go on to have a live donor liver transplant from her brother, Tommy. They both continued to use CrossFit as a source of strength throughout their recovery process, and today they work together coaching at Tommy's affiliate, Coda CrossFit Tulsa. Sydney and I sat down at the 2018 CrossFit Games while she was in Madison for a follow-up appointment with her transplant team. We talked all about her journey, some of the most important lessons she learned through this process, and her hopes and dreams for the future. A few quick reminders before we get started. First, this episode is produced by CrossFit Beyond the Whiteboard, the best workout tracking in the biz and the one I've been using since 2009. Learn more about them at beyondthewhiteboard.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. It really does make a difference and helps to get these stories out to more listeners. I'm always looking for inspiring stories to share. So if you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com and I'll select some to share here on future episodes. Finally, please remember that although I am now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So with that, we'll get started with episode number 98 of Pursuing Health featuring Sydney Sullivan. Pursuing Health. Thank you. Super excited. I'm here in Madison, Wisconsin with Sydney Sullivan, and I'm so excited you were able to join me today. So
me
thank
too.
You.
Thank you for having me.
It's crazy. We were just talking about before we started the podcast how crazy it is that you're here in Madison for your post-op check. You're now at your year and a half post-op mark from your liver transplant, and also the CrossFit Games are now happening in Madison, which you competed in for 2 years while you were going through this whole process with your liver disease. So it's kind of crazy how it all came full circle.
I know it is.
And I want to talk about the whole story. But maybe before we get started, you were diagnosed when you were about 12, is that correct? So very young, and that basically your entire teenage years have been sort of consumed by this. So I want to start back before that, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about prior to the diagnosis, what you like to do, what you like to do growing up, and then we'll kind of get into your story.
Okay. Yeah. Growing up, I tried every sport you can think of and never stuck with one. I would end up like quitting, just cause I didn't like it. And, so then my brother and my, dad started CrossFit and of course wouldn't stop talking about it like every day, every night, constantly like telling me and my family like, you need to try it, you need to do it. So we're like, fine, to get them to shut up, we finally went to a CrossFit class. And that's just how it all started. I just fell in love with it and got competitive, and
that's crazy. And so what kind of sports, you say you tried a lot of different sports, were there any that you spent more time on or that you liked a little bit more than others?
So volleyball, I did play that, in eighth grade.
Okay.
I did volleyball and I stuck with that just cause, my friends did it and I was pretty good at it. So I did that. It wasn't super competitive or anything. It was just fun on the side thing to do. So I stuck with that. Other sports I tried was like soccer, dance, gymnastics, tennis, literally everything. But volleyball I did stick with, for about 2 years. And then once I got to high school, I was actually on the cross country team.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I did that. And at the time I was doing both CrossFit and cross country.
Okay.
So I was pretty good at cross country, but it got to be too much.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to stick with CrossFit because I like that so much more.
And you were getting more competitive in CrossFit, and that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And it's cool how all those experiences too, when you're younger, can prepare you because CrossFit is a little bit of everything. So probably having such a wide variety of exposures to different sports probably helped you too.
Yeah, for sure.
And so how old were you when you started CrossFit then?
So I was about, let me rewind, 12, I started CrossFit.
Okay.
Wasn't super into it yet. I would say at about like 14, I started to get competitive in it and doing like competitions. And then high school, I did cross country.
Okay.
And that's how it all came together.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So around the time you started doing CrossFit, around the time where you were diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So kind of take us through that process. Like when did you were you starting to have symptoms? When did you know that something was off?
Yeah. So, around 12 years old, my stomach always hurt. First it was my, right side and then my left. That would be like the liver and the spleen. So I got it checked out by my doctor, but he never said anything was wrong. We just thought it was weird stomach pain, you know, something so, and then it got worse.
Okay.
And so I was pretty used to living with it just because I was used to it, you know, like my stomach hurt, like people's stomach hurts all the time.
Right.
What is that? You know,
there's a lot of reasons.
So, that went on, and then I started just losing weight, getting shaky all the time, and it started to get worse, and then around, I would say, so I got diagnosed when I was 12. I went and got my blood drawn finally. My bilirubin was sky high,
wow.
So they're like, you need to go see like a gastroenterologist, hepatologist. So I went there, and they immediately diagnosed me with autoimmune hepatitis. They said my liver looked like a 45-year-old alcoholic.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a shock, but being so young, like 12 years old, I was like, what is that? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, so she put me on a ton of prednisone steroids and told me I'd gain weight, get like a chipmunk face. And being 12, that's the last thing I wanted to hear.
Right.
You know, so that's, I think, like how I got so competitive in CrossFit, you know, just knowing that and like taking out all my stress and, you know, anxiety, from the disease. And I think that really like,
you just put all your energy towards CrossFit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. And I can't even imagine what that's like to hear that, you know, how you have this, and we haven't talked about it yet, but the diagnosis was autoimmune hepatitis.
Like a juvenile. Cirrhosis of the liver. Okay. My spleen was the size of a football, pushing my stomach, so I couldn't eat anything, and if I did, like, I just feel so full, so I don't have the spleen anymore.
Now it doesn't get in the way. There you go. So with that diagnosis, what was that like for you and for your family? You said you kind of, what you were hearing was more, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on this prednisone. There's all these side effects that I don't want. And what were you being told by your doctors about what the treatment path was and the prognosis and things like that?
Yeah. So when I was diagnosed, of course, hearing the prednisone, I was like, okay, I need to start eating healthy. And I remember after that, I literally had my last burger and fries.
No way.
Yeah. So I started eating healthy, like making small changes. I look back now, I'm like, that wasn't eating healthy. Like, you know, like cutting it. I mean, I cut out like bread and fast food, but like now where I am today, I'm like, oh, you know, like I could have better.
You've come a long way.
So yeah. I started eating healthier. You know, being so young, it was, I didn't fully understand. I just remember, like, never wanting to take my medicine in the morning. Like, I'd cry. My parents would be like, you know, like, trying to get me to take it, and I finally would. It was just like a battle, you know. But they definitely kept it to themselves and would talk to each other, of course, not around me. But it was definitely hard. But, you know, like, I was so young, I just didn't understand
what was
fully.
Yeah.
But I look back and I'm like, man, I had some dedication, you know? Like,
it's amazing to hear, because you think a lot of kids or a lot of adults, when they hear that they have some sort of medical diagnosis, can take it and make it into a sort of feeling bad for themselves and being sort of a victim of the diagnosis. But it sounds like you really used it and said, okay, how can I make this the best situation possible? How can I eat healthier and, you know, make my body stronger so that I can, you know, fight this or do the best that I can? So that alone, I think, is very impressive for a 12-year-old. But tell us a little bit about the diagnosis and what juvenile autoimmune hepatitis means, so people listening can understand.
Yeah, so basically your immune system starts attacking your liver, thinking it's like bad, like bacteria or something. Like when you get sick, your immune system fights it. So it was fighting that, and then my liver literally like looked like a charred steak. Like it was very black. Cirrhosis is what they call it. All my platelets got stuck in my spleen. I'm not sure how that works. I think it just got backed up in my liver and scooted back into my spleen. So, like, that continually grew and grew. And it was always, like, I had to stop doing, like, bar muscle-ups, like, slamming down on my stomach on burpees.
Because you had this huge liver and
spleen. Because it got to where, like, okay, you need to stop doing that stuff. Because, of course, I wasn't going to stop doing CrossFit.
Yeah.
But it never did, so. But, yeah, so it got so big, it was pushing my stomach and I couldn't eat anything. So I think that's a part of why I lost a ton of weight. So the prednisone is what suppresses your immune system. So then I get sick more easy, you know, so I had to be careful with that. But yeah, that's pretty much what
And you kind of ramped up. So around this age of 12 is when you got the diagnosis, and then you really ramped up what you were doing with CrossFit in those next couple of years. So tell us what it was like in that initial period where you're taking the prednisone, you're doing more CrossFit, and you're getting a lot fitter despite having this whole disease process going on. So what was that like?
So it was hard, but the disease, like, I really think it's what pushed me, along with loving CrossFit. It's what made me so competitive and stuff. But yeah, it was hard, and it really got hard around when I was the second year competing at the games, because that's when I lost a ton of weight. Like, I look back, I look like a skeleton.
Yeah, like, I've seen, and we'll link some pictures, but we've seen, you know, I watched some of the videos and pictures of you at the games, and I mean, you could tell. So the year before, so first you got
I looked super
fit the year before, 2015, you completely dominated, you won your age group, you got...
And then I didn't look that bad, like, and then the next year, it's just a drastic change.
Drastic change.
It really
is. In that first year, in 2015, when you won, and you won, like, six events or something, were you feeling a lot of symptoms?
So then, not that much.
Okay.
I mean, I would have stomach pain, get like fatigued and shaky, but not near as much as the next year. So then I was like doing fine. I didn't really necessarily feel like I was sick, part of because I live like this so long. But then 2016 hit, and that's just like I lost so much weight.
A different story.
It was literally like they said a year more, and I would have lived like maybe a year.
Wow.
More after that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So when did you start to notice, like, from after the 2015 games and having that success on kind of this big stage of CrossFit, then when did you start to notice, like, your health was kind of going downhill?
Yeah, so I'd say shortly after that, maybe, like, a few months, it just got really bad. Like, I honestly, like, don't really remember that much. But looking back, it's like, man, I was sick.
Yeah. And through that whole time, you still were training and you obviously you competed at the games again in 2016.
Yeah, and I can't say it was the healthiest thing to do, but it, like, CrossFit is what is, like, what got me through this disease and, like, this transplant, and I couldn't live without it. So I just did what I could. Of course, like, lighter weights because I weighed, like, 115 pounds. So lighter weight, I did what I could, and it was definitely hard. There's a lot of crying, a lot of emotions, just because I was so used to lifting these weights and going this fast, but I couldn't do that anymore. So that's when I realized, okay, something's wrong. Like, it's progressing fast. And it's a slow disease, but, like, in that last year, it was fast.
Fast.
Yeah.
And so even though you're seeing your performance kind of decrease, you still decided to compete at the 2016 games. And we kind of saw, like, this isn't the Sydney that we saw the year before. We know something's up. What was that experience like, competing and, you know, being there with your other competitors and on that stage, knowing that you weren't really doing well health-wise?
Yeah, so it's definitely a change. Of course, I was, which isn't, like, doable again, or maybe it is, but, you know, winning literally, like, every single event but one. So I was pretty, like, I was expecting a lot from myself.
Right.
But that first event, I literally cried on the field because I was about to quit, but then my judge talked me out of it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was definitely a change. Weights just felt so heavy. I was sick, and I needed a new liver, you know? So, doing that, but I pushed through and ended up in sixth place. So.
That's incredible. That's so incredible.
Yeah. And my coach, Dennis Berry, he was, like, my rock. Like, he's what, like, helped me through it the whole time. I can't say that he wanted me to compete that year, but he, like, stood by my side. He was like, okay, whatever you want to do. So he got me through it, and I got sixth place.
It's incredible. Okay, so you got sixth place at 2016, and now you get home from the games, and you kind of know, okay, I'm not doing well. So what was the path like from there with you and your family and deciding, okay, how are we going to move forward?
Yeah, so we could definitely tell something was wrong. I had my last appointment with my doctors in Oklahoma City, my transplant doctor, because their facility was shutting down.
Oh, no.
So it's like, okay, do we send you to this place, which is also in Oklahoma? But he recommended living donor transplant because my MELD score, which is these blood tests, the numbers added up is, like, ranks you on the transplant list of who gets the liver first from a deceased donor. So my MELD score didn't reflect how sick I was. So it was, like, 13, which is really low. Like, you get a liver at, like, 30.
30, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And do they think that was because you were kind of so fit?
Or yes. How? Okay. I think so.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think, like, doing CrossFit, it's literally what kept me alive. You get longer,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he recommended living donor transplant. So we're like, okay. So we first went to Dallas, Texas. Immediately got rejected. Said I needed to have, like, cancer or something, or jaundice, to be able to get a liver, which is, like, that's the whole point of living donor,
right?
Is you're pretty healthy going into it. That's the whole point. So, like, this isn't the right place, obviously. So,
donor is pretty rare. Like, there's not that many living donor transplants that have been done.
No, there's not, like, enough studies to say, like, how long you live or, you know, life expectancy or anything like that. So first we were like, okay, we need to find a donor. And of course my sister Meredith was like, I'm doing it. Of course she'd do it.
So is your sister older or younger than you?
Younger. She's about to be 21.
Okay. You guys look so similar. I thought you were twins when I first saw a picture.
Like, literally at least once a day. Are you twins? Yeah. So, so then we went to, after a lot of researching, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And they put me on the deceased list.
Okay.
I guess I didn't qualify for living donor.
Okay.
I don't know. It was a weird experience. We just knew it wasn't the right place.
Okay.
So then, I'm trying to think, so many places. So then my mom, of course, calls every single state.
And right.
Like, literally everywhere, calling and asking. So I think we had, like, Atlanta set up next, a bunch of other places. It really is hard to find living donor places who do living donor transplant, because it's just not very common. And then, as we were talking earlier, I go to this health club to swim and stuff. We were in the sauna, and this complete stranger starts talking to me about how, like, competing is going, and if I'm doing any competitions, if I have any coming up. And I was like, no, I'm kind of, like, right now we're searching for, my mom started talking to him about, because I'm giving a liver transplant, living donor facilities, places who do that. And he was like, oh, I used to be an anesthesiologist in Madison, Wisconsin.
No way.
And, yeah, so of course my mom was like, we're going, you know. And I was like, I literally said to her, I'm like, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm sick of it. They're gonna say no.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing this. I was just so, like, distraught and, you know, worn out and, like, given up.
Yeah.
And so of course she booked us flights. We went, my sister and my mom got all the tests done.
Okay.
To see if their anatomy was right, everything. So my sister, it would be possible, but it would be very risky because of her anatomy. So they were like, and my mom was, her anatomy wasn't right. So they were like, we need a safer choice until we know, like, if another person isn't right in your family. Because in your family, if you get a donor from your family, it's a lot. You have less risks towards you after surgery and during. So they're like, okay, Tommy, my older brother. So he got kind of forced into it. Of course he did.
How much older is he?
He is 23.
Okay. So like 5 years older or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... of course, he said, okay, yeah, I want to do it. So he went down. His anatomy was perfect. Like, nothing wrong. His liver was big. It was perfect. So then we had surgery. He donated over 60% of his liver.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
That's crazy. So what was that like? Can you take us through what that was like? Like, on the day of surgery?
Yeah.
Being there with your... I mean... I've only had one surgery in my life on my Achilles, which was obviously, like, very minor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's scary.
It is.
It's in being in medicine.
Really, no matter what.
Yeah, I've been around tons of surgeries and been in the operating room, but having it be on yourself and having to, like, give up that control and just, like, put your life in the hands of someone else is very scary.
Yeah.
And doing that with your brother had to have been just a crazy experience.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, there's always these, like, thoughts in your mind, like, okay, what if... I live, but Tommy doesn't, which is my brother who donated. It's like, you know, you just get those thoughts, and it's, like, really scary, especially for my family who was in the waiting room
for their kids.
12 hours. Yeah. Yeah. So first Tommy went back because they open him up, shoot this dye in him. I think his liver, and it, I'm not sure what kind of test it does, but it tells you if the transplant is possible. Because it's, I think, like, literally, like, 5% of that happens and you can't do surgery.
Okay.
Something like that. So of course they open up first, and knowing that, I'm like, crap, like, they're gonna put me to sleep and then I'm gonna wake up and what if this didn't happen?
Yeah,
you know, because it wasn't possible.
Yeah.
So they take him back, they take me back, they take him back first, open him up, and by that time I'm asleep. So it was definitely scary going into that, but yeah, we got through it. But so it was a 12-hour surgery, 10 hours for the hem. They didn't know if they're going to take my spleen out yet.
Okay.
It was once they get in there and see everything, they were going to decide. So, yeah, we did great in the surgery. They ended up taking out my spleen. I got them to take pictures of it.
Just for memories.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and then we woke up and... like, at that time, they said I'd pressed the button for pain meds.
Yeah.
Like, 45 times, and I only got the medicine 12. Because you know what?
Cuts you off, yeah.
So that just goes to show how much pain I was
in. Wow.
But it was definitely, like, the pain was bad.
I can't even imagine. Like, your entire
abdomen
is just...
Yeah.
Different. Yeah.
And they wanted you to stretch it and stuff or lay back in your bed, but
it just hurt so yeah. bad. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So what was it like the first time you saw Tommy then after the surgery?
Yeah, so that was amazing. Just knowing he was okay and got through it. I actually have my mom took a picture of that where we're holding hands, so that's pretty special. I have it framed, actually.
That's so cool. We'll have to get it.
Yeah, but it was definitely amazing seeing him, because he, of course, recovers faster than me just because of everything that was
yeah,
going on.
Yeah.
So it was definitely good to see that he was okay and got through it well.
That's incredible. Now take us through the recovery process. So obviously you're at this super high level of fitness at the games, and then kind of slowly we're losing your fitness before the transplant, but now you're kind of starting from square one.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
Yeah. So it took about, I want to say 3 months of nothing, just walking. So Tommy and I would just walk in the hotel up the stairs. We would literally walk like this, like old grandparents, like literally with an arch back, because we could not straighten it, hurt so bad. But so we would just start with that. Like walking is like the big thing.
Yeah.
And it was definitely hard, like considering where we both came from and coming back recovering. It was like, I can't even lift 10 pounds, you know, like I'm so out of breath and we're losing weight, you know?
Yeah.
So even more weight than we should be. So we started with walking, and then about 3 months we could lift 20 pounds, slowly building up. I started with swimming once I got cleared to do swimming.
Oh, good.
That was about, I want to say like 5 or 6 months after, I could start swimming, which when I first got in the pool, I could just feel it like stretching my whole abdomen.
Wow.
It was like a strange feeling. But so swimming, just walking, light like dumbbell carries, stuff like that. And then like after 6 months, my doctor said, okay, you're clear to do anything, like anything you want. And I, like, both Tommy know, like GHDs, like stuff like that.
Like anything?
I'm never doing that again. Yeah, so we just started with lightweight and then built up. And really, it's crazy how fast it came back. And we were both, like, deathly afraid to do a GHD, but then we got it. We can do them now.
Wow.
Really, it was definitely, like, crazy how fast, because I gained weight back, you know, like now I'm weighing the most, but I feel the best and
so much stronger.
Yeah, so it really was crazy, like, to realize how sick I really was after, and like comparing, you know. And it took a while. I want to say like the last 3 months I've definitely, or maybe like 5 months, I've gained like even more weight, and like I can't get too caught up on that because I feel amazing. Like my strength is better than it's ever been before.
Just saw I was looking at your Instagram and I saw your snatch 150 pounds.
Yeah. That was a PR.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's so crazy. And you're so strong, probably stronger than you've ever been.
I really am. And my endurance isn't quite there yet, but it's slowly getting there. I think it's just like my body getting used to the weight, and you know, hopefully that'll come back. I've started to do more endurance stuff, so
good. That's amazing. And so does Tommy go to the same gym as you, or do you just see each other?
Yes. So actually my brother just opened up a CrossFit gym called CrossFit Tulsa.
No way.
Yeah, and so my sister, his wife, we all have our L1s. He's about to get his L2, but so I'm going to help. That's why I'm not staying for the games.
You got to go back and...
Yeah, so help coach and help him out. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, we're excited. We just had our first classes Friday.
Oh, so, congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. Okay, we'll link to your website too, so people can check it out.
Yeah, we're excited. I'm super excited.
That's so cool. And did you graduate from, where are you at in school?
So, I went to Bishop Kelley High School freshman year of, and then switched to online school just because of everything going on.
Yeah.
Surgery, I'd have to take time off, and I wasn't really into the I don't know. I hate to say that. But yeah.
It you just had a wasn't lot of right other big real life things going on.
I did. And so it just wasn't, and I'm so grateful I did online school because it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
So yeah, I graduated from, it's University of Missouri online. Okay. So, and then I'm going to go to Tulsa University this August.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Very cool. Congrats. Okay. So what are you, where, it sounds like you're in a great place right now, fitness wise, but do you have any particular goals as far as getting back into competitions, whether CrossFit or any other type of competitions?
Yeah. So I've done, let's see, one competition since surgery with my sister. It was fun. I definitely want to do more. I have one coming up, a team competition.
Okay.
Yeah, and my brother really wants to get a team to go to regional. So I don't know about
you guys will all be training at the same
this
gym
this next year, like but good, maybe in a few years.
Yeah. You can work up to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Very good. Well, you're clearly very wise beyond your years, and you've had so much more life experience than I think most of us will ever have. But from this whole experience, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned or things that you want to pass along to other people?
Man, exercise is so important. I like truly believe that's what got me through surgery and helped me live longer until surgery. I really do, and my doctors think that too, for sure. Definitely keeping your body healthy, exercise, eating right, and just,
and what type, I was forgot to ask this before, but what type of medications are you on now, and does that affect your training at all?
Yeah, so I'm on about I take like 20 pills a day, morning and night, anti-rejection, like tacrolimus, mycophenolate, of course, prednisone. They're going to keep me on that. It's a really low dose. I think like 5 milligrams, really low, just because the autoimmune can always come back.
Yeah.
So I'll probably never get off of that just because, those are like the main ones.
Yeah.
And then of course, like vitamins, I take Nexium, heartburn because I have that really bad, and then Ursodiol, something like that.
Yep.
I think that's covered most of them.
Okay.
The important ones.
Do you? I mean, it's probably hard to compare without, but like knowing how they affect your training or if they.
Yeah. So I really don't notice anything. I think
overall
maybe,
you're so much healthier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think maybe it did affect, I feel like one of some of them may affected my glucose in the beginning, but now that's pretty stable. But I think maybe like upset stomach every now and then, but I don't notice anything like drastic.
And you obviously, you know, you're more susceptible maybe to infections or if your immune system is down a little bit. So how do you, does that impact you in any way in your day-to-day life?
Yeah. So especially since my spleen, I don't have any anymore.
And kind of
mixed with the anti-rejection and the immune suppressors. I have to be careful. I honestly, like, knock on wood, I don't get sick that often. So I'm grateful for that. But when I do, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm doing good. Like, don't eat from buffets, stuff like that. Like, simple things from like that. If you think it's, like, the food or water's not clean, don't drink
just
it. Like, I went to the Dominican, I just had to be careful with, like, the meat and their water from tap or whatever, so I just drink like bottled water. I just had to be careful, but I'm so far I haven't gotten real sick, so
that's amazing. And probably also another testament to taking care of your body, eating really well, all of those things
for sure
certainly
for
will
sure.
help. Okay. Sorry, I totally interrupted you, but you were telling us about other things that you've learned from this experience, and you said exercise was probably one of the biggest ones. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you want to pass along?
Eating healthy for sure. And really, like, if you don't think, like, this may sound weird, but like, if you don't like because an example is I was at the doctor's and like it just didn't feel right, like in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Like just go towards your goal and like don't stop, you know. If you don't agree, like, and you feel a certain way, like go after it.
Yeah. Don't like kind of listen to that intuition that you have or that mm-hmm. inner voice.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think it is, like we were talking about earlier, it's amazing how it all came together and you guys said you felt so comfortable when you met the doctors in Madison. It felt like the right place to be.
Really, yeah.
And then finding out the games were here, it's kind of another just weird sign that it's, you know, the right place.
It's God. Yeah, seriously.
It is. It's amazing. He works in mysterious ways.
Really? I know.
Okay, so I want to finish with three questions I ask everyone. So we kind of got into some of the first one, but the first one is three things that you do on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
Definitely exercising. Yep. It doesn't have to be CrossFit, just any good type of exercise. Healthy eating.
And what do you, as far as how do you approach eating now or nutrition now?
Yeah, so I used to count macros. I sort of kind of do that. I'm not super strict anymore, which I feel a lot more, like, free. And I feel happier in a way because I was very, like, stuck to those numbers. And so I just eat mostly, like, clean foods. I'll treat myself to ice cream or bready type things every now and then. Like, I honestly, I'm not too hung up on that. And I feel, like, so much better about that. So,
That's awesome.
Just eating healthy, like, vegetables, fruits, meats, and treating yourself every now and then. Yeah.
I love it. That's such a great approach.
Really? Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't used to be that way. So, I've learned.
It's a tough, especially, I think, being a teenage girl. It's so tough.
For sure.
Because there's so many... You can go one way or the other, but you can really start obsessing about food and obsessing about
body
image.
Yeah, and I definitely did that. So.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, people learn in different ways and, like, evolve in the way that they, their relationship with food. But it sounds like through this whole process, you have a really great relationship with your body and with food, and you're in a good place now.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay, so food, exercise, and one more thing that you do on a regular basis.
You know, like, spend time with your family, friends, surround yourself with good people, you know, like, your community, like, CrossFit community. My CrossFit community is awesome now that it's, like, my family.
Yeah, that's
but,
amazing.
Surround yourself with good people that respect you and you respect them, and
I love it. Is there something that you're working on that you think would have a big impact on your health? That you struggle with or you want to try?
Probably not, like, caring so much about what others think and, you know, being comfortable with yourself and your body and,
Are there what are ways that you think you've overcome that? Because it seems like you do a pretty good job at that.
Yeah, I feel like all the things that I've been through, I've just become more confident and,
maybe it just puts things in perspective.
Like, for sure.
You have such a better
handle
on, you know, just being grateful for, like, little things, you know, that other people might take for granted.
Yeah, for sure.
I can see that for sure. All right, last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
Healthy life looks like exercising. Mm-hmm. hanging out with friends and family again. And just loving yourself and loving what you do. And if you don't like it, find something else.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Such great advice. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again. It's amazing to actually be able to hear your story in person and to be able to share this with everyone on Pursuing Health. So thank you
so much for having me.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into this episode. I hope you enjoyed learning about Sydney's story as much as I did. She is obviously a very strong young lady, and I'm sure will continue to inspire many, many more people over the course of her life. So we want to know, has CrossFit ever been a source of strength for you in a difficult situation? Tell us more about it on social media using the hashtag PursuingHealth. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used Lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. This episode is brought to you by a company that's made my life significantly easier, and that's Thrive Market. Thrive Market is an online marketplace, and they're on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. It allows you to shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. But as a Pursuing Health listener, you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, plus a free 30-day trial if you visit www.thrivemarket.com/PH. My husband Danny and I have been ordering from Thrive Market for years, and it's helped us to maximize our efficiency with grocery shopping and meal prep in the midst of our busy schedules through medical training. Using Thrive Market, we can shop for all of our staple grocery items, things like nut butters, cooking oils, snacks, dressings, coffee and tea, even personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, and non-toxic beauty products. We know that they're coming from a curated list of products we can trust. Whether you're looking for paleo, vegan, ketogenic, gluten-free, non-GMO, sustainably farmed, fair trade certified, or any of 80 plus other types of products, you can easily find them by filtering on Thrive Market's platform. And they're all at prices 25 to 50% below retail. Even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you never have to worry about the time or hassle of grocery shopping. Here's a few other reasons to love Thrive Market. First, they're the very first company in the country to go 100% zero waste. All of their packaging, boxes, and inserts are made from recycled paper and are recyclable themselves. They're the largest retailer in the country that sells exclusively non-GMO groceries, and more than 70% of the Thrive Market catalog cannot be found on Amazon. It provides greater access to high-quality products at prices comparable to conventional products in supermarkets. This helps to decrease the barriers to healthy living for everyone. We also have the opportunity to vote with our forks every single day to change our food environment in this country, and Thrive Market can help us do so by supporting companies that are also working towards this mission and producing high-quality, healthy, and sustainable foods. So that's why I love Thrive. Thrive's mission again is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because it's been such a lifesaver for me, I wanted to share the benefits of Thrive Market with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So once again, head to thrivemarket.com/PH to receive 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. Why not try it out and do your grocery shopping from home this week? I hope you can take advantage of this offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, head to thrivemarket.com/PH to learn more. No discount code necessary. Just shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep. Now, I think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there is a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals raised in feedlots that are fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and that it will taste amazing. They allow you to order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I are super excited about firing up our backyard grill this summer to enjoy our ButcherBox selections with tons of vegetables from our local CSA. And you can join us. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. Just head to butcherbox.com/Julie for $20 off your order, plus a free order of their delicious bacon. Again, that's butcherbox.com/Julie. Hope you can check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for us.